This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. We have a great guest. Brett Cotter is here. Brett, the stress is gone guy. You look so zen, so peaceful.
Thank you, Casey. And thank you so much for having me back on. It's always great to see you.
We've been together a lot of years.
Yes. Yeah. What did we meet in, like 2007 or 8, I think? It's been a while.
So I see you there with your salt lamp behind you and your greenery. You look so peaceful. I'm so grateful for the video and for the audio that we're going to share with our listeners today. You, the stress is gone guy, I want to jump in and talk to you about how I have learned firsthand how stress can change a person. Now, my friends are so sick of me talking about starting this new job 10 months ago, and I'm grateful for my new job and all the goodness that it brings, running a couple of retreat centers. But I can tell you, I was not prepared for the amount of stress and the continuous stress. I would listen to women who said, oh, my job, my job, my job. And I'd walk away saying, what's wrong with them? Why don't they take a bubble bath? Why don't they just go out to dinner? Why are they so stressed? But I've learned that stressful situations can just sort of take you on a journey and then you are elsewhere. Right?
And great way to put it.
I've thought many times, am I ever going to get back to who I used to be? So I'm on Amazon today and I'm looking at your book, The Stress Is Gone Method, the workbook. I love it. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how this book will help you unpack traumatic events, caring for elderly parents, work, finances, school, caring for a child with special needs, out of control family situations, abusive or narcissistic relationships, personal or family health crises, generational or ancestral trauma, loss of a loved one, the legal system, medical trauma, exhaustion from placing everyone else's needs before yourself, being raised by abusive, addicted, or neglectful parents. I wanted to say all that because this list is beautiful. And I know that everyone listening can check off some box or get darn close to checking off like, hey, that's me. That's me. So thank you for the workbook that's available on Amazon. I'm going to jump into the personal. What drew you to this kind of work?
My own stress. Yeah, I was 27 and the universe sent me 3 blatantly obvious signs to start meditating in one night. It was like one right after the next. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to learn how to meditate that weekend. I went for a transcendental meditation workshop. My life was changed on the third day in that workshop on my first solo meditation. I had an out-of-body experience. And then I realized I had a pattern. Since I was 15 with my first girlfriend, I was very jealous. And all my relationships with women had the same pattern with jealousy. And right at that realization point, I got really lucky. I got referred to an amazing healer in Sedona, Arizona. And within 5 minutes of sitting down with him, an original traumatic memory of my childhood when I was 5 years old, right before my parents got divorced, surfaced from my body. And it came to the consciousness, like my conscious mind. And I was watching it like watching a movie. And my father and mother were arguing the same exact way I argued with all of my ex-girlfriends from age 15 to 27. And my motivation was I was in another relationship. I loved the woman very much and my jealousy was coming out and I wanted to change it. And from that day forward, 90 minutes later after that session, jealousy never ruined another relationship in my life. So something miraculous happened in that session and I was a moth to a flame to this work ever since that day.
Now, listening to that story, I can hear people saying, I've been in therapy for 10 years. I've been to every healer on the planet. Why can't I get that? Why can't I get what you got? Part of me thinks you might have been sent to help the rest of us. You know what I mean? You got your clarity, and then the universe kind of knew you were going to take it forward and help the rest of us. Yeah?
You know, for many years after that experience, it was so miraculous what happened in that 90-minute session. I actually felt the jealousy unwind from my body, but then layers of rage came up underneath it, and then layers of sadness came up underneath it, and then the core fear of abandonment came up and released. And that was a miraculous experience for me. And for, you know, many years, I was like, you know, why did that happen to me? You know, and always coming to grips with it. But recently, like 6 months ago, I was asking the universe, you know, why did that happen to me? And was it like something that I did, and it, like something bad that I did, that it was trying to like help me, like that it, was I that bad? Because I was, you know, I got into a lot of trouble when I was a young kid and lived in Queens and stuff, right? And it said, it wasn't because of what you did. It was because what we knew you would do.
Amen.
So I think you were right on track with what you just said. You
Amen.
Know?
Because of what we knew you would do. That's so fantastic. I love it. I got chills. Now I need to know, I really need to know, what is your ritual like? What's your day like? Do you ever, let me just shut up. What's your ritual like? How do you take care of your own stress?
So I listen to my emotions. When I want to cry, I let myself cry. And that's the biggest piece of advice I could give anybody. And whenever I find myself angry, I know that the anger is protecting some sadness. So I automatically will go to the saddest part of the situation is, and then I'll tap into my sadness. And then I'll access the tears, and then I'll actually get to the source of it, and I'll release it from my body, my emotions. When I let myself cry and the tears are starting to flow, I know I'm letting the pain go, and I'm being a chain breaker in that moment. And these chains are not just from you and your spouse, or you and your supervisor, or you and your coworker, or you and your siblings, or you and your kid, right? These chains are like ancient generational and ancestral trauma that have been locked in our DNA for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So that's why when something that we experience is stressful, so much emotion comes up, like it's uncontrollable, because we have so much stuff in the body and the world has become such a triggering environment. So the first thing I do is listen to my emotions. If I need to take a break with whoever I'm talking with, you know, I'll go take a walk in the backyard. I'll breathe deep and slow. I'll touch the tension in my body. So I usually touch my heart or my stomach. I'm breathing into the tightness, and I just express my feelings with no censor or judgment. And even if you're angry and you feel like you want to yell, you don't have to yell. As long as you say the words that you're feeling, you'll start to feel layers of anger unlock and release from your chest as you are saying it. It's really miraculous when we get really tender and vulnerable. And this brings me to the idea of surrender, because to me, surrender just means we're surrendering our pain to the moment. We're breathing into it, we're embracing it, and we're releasing it. And ultimately, it comes down to loving the pain in the body. And as we're breathing and releasing, we're also opening up our heart to that pain. We're accepting it. We're listening to it as we are saying it. We're feeling it. And then when the heart opens, that's the icing on the cake. And it actually unlocks and releases the tension and the stress. The expansion of unconditional love releases the tension from the stress. And then we feel better.
Did you say loving the pain in the body?
Yeah. This is something we teach in our mentorship program, and I teach in our coaches training program, with our own loving our own pain, because we can't help anybody through anything if we haven't loved that same pain on the inside. So as we love the areas and all the parts of ourselves, we can help reflect to the other person in front of us how to love themselves, right? So in our training, sometimes I joke around, I say, when that pain is on the surface and you're bawling and you're crying and it feels like the worst thing ever, I want you to imagine it is the cutest puppy on the planet. Because that cutest puppy is your innocent child, your innocent inner child, and it deserves love just like all of us deserve love, even more. So when we start to use those funny little visualizations of like the cutest puppy, our heart opens, and then we could just pour the love into the pain. And when that happens, it's almost like the desert is quenched by a flood of love. And all the pain starts to release in layers and layers from the body, and the mind starts to clear and the emotions start to rebalance. Yeah. It changes how we see ourselves in the world when we're doing it right. We start to see that I'm okay, he's okay. I'm okay, she's okay. We're all okay. I'm enough, he's enough. I'm enough, she's enough. There is enough. Just the I'm enough and there is enough, that changes how we operate in the world. Because most of us, if not all of us, are in survival mode, right? We're all trying to survive here. So just to say to yourself, you know, whenever you're brushing your teeth, driving your car, I'm enough. And then you think about looking out into the world, and there is enough.
Yeah.
We are enough. We have enough.
It's such an important thought. We are all in survival mode. Gosh, especially in the world today.
And we're all caught up in it. And it's an ancient survival system that has kept these bodies alive for millions of years as evolution was happening. But we still have that really animalistic fight or flight in us. And we store trauma in the subconscious. So anytime something similar to any of those past traumatic events, we see, hear, feel, or smell it, well, that stress comes right back. It stirs up a stressful stew. And now we're blinded by the emotions and the negative thoughts.
Right.
And we can't see through it. It's like it's a very narrow vision. But when we touch the tension in our body, we start breathing deeply and slowly into the tightness. And then we start to say, well, whatever mantra kind of feels good to you. I like, I'm okay. I'm okay. He's okay. I'm okay. There's enough. I'm enough. Whatever you like, that starts to settle your stress down. And now all of a sudden your perspective starts to widen. It's not just run or fight. There's so many other options. And as you breathe deeper and slower, the options get more and more.
Yeah. His name is Brett Cotter. You're asking, who is this guy? Who is this guy? His name is Brett Cotter. And the website is stressisgone.com. Is that the website?
Yes.
Or you have others?
You have stressisgone.com. That's where we offer our training, our coaching, our retreats, our workbooks. And then we have stressisgone.org that really looks to take donations to get veterans and first responders into our retreats and into our coaching programs.
Let's talk about that. You have a trauma workshop for people in the military coming up on the 26th of this month. Military sexual assault survivors?
Yeah, so MST, military sexual trauma, this is one of the most complex PTSD types of stress there is. You know, you see the PTSD letters, then you see that little C in front of it sometimes, a complex PTSD. To me, that's when there's multiple types of trauma and it's complex, where as one emotion starts to release, another one pops up, and then it takes you over here from sadness to anger. And it's just really, it's really complex. So military sexual trauma affects men and women, is one of the most scary, debilitating, frightening traumas I've ever seen release from the human form.
Mm.
I've seen all different types of trauma release, right? But military sexual trauma is something different. And I think it's because when you're in the military, you're in a system. You're in a very powerful system. And at times you feel powerless. So now if you take sexual trauma and you put it inside that institution, it is just fear any way you reflect it. Any way you look at it, it's really something that is unique. And my first experience with it was with my first retreat years ago at the Omega Institute. Veterans had full scholarships there for years. And that was my first experience with it. And then I've been working with people more and more with it. And I've helped people since my first coaching client in 2000 or 2001 actually was a survivor of a kidnapping and sexual assault. So I'm used to this, but military sexual trauma is something very different. So the Castle Point VA is hosting us to come in and do a half-day retreat for female veterans in the Hudson Valley that are survivors of MST. And my wife and I are going in and leading the retreat. And we are so excited to partner with the VA on this. I think we have 32 people registered right now. The space holds about 50. So if you're hearing this,
wow,
and it's before the 26th of September and you're a female veteran in the Hudson Valley, please reach out to Rebecca Delgado at Castle Point, the VA, and we want to get you into this this retreat.
I'm going to introduce you to Barbara Giordano, or Virginia Giordano, if you haven't met her yet. She created a foundation in honor of her sister, Barbara Giordano. The Giordano Foundation is for women veterans, and they've got a couple of retreats scheduled here at Graymore, so maybe you can come and speak to them too. To be in the military or in any system that you have given your life to, that you join this brotherhood or sisterhood or this community, and then to be assaulted in that matrix has got to feel like some kind of trap you're never going to get out of, like a house of mirrors. You know, nothing could possibly, how could you glean anything from your entire career after something like that happens?
It is, like I said, there's nothing close to it. There's nothing like it. There's nothing similar to it. But I'll say this, it does unwind, it fully unlocks, and it releases.
Thank goodness for people like you who are helping our veterans to get healthier.
And I just want to say, because no matter how complex the situation is, the stress that we went through, the trauma, no matter how debilitating, scary, fearful, to me, there's only two types of energy in the entire universe. There is expansion and there's constriction, right? Contraction. Mm-hmm. So fear is constriction, contraction, right? Unconditional love is expansion. The reason why love feels good is because 99.9999% of the universe is expanding. And when you feel unconditional love, you're in alignment with the universe. Fear hurts because we are opposite flow of the universe. Constriction doesn't feel good and it hurts and it causes pain and disease in the body because we're going opposite flow of the universe.
Wow. I've never heard it put like that. I've heard, you know, there's just fear and love, but there's just expansion and contraction. That is beautiful. All right. That's another way to look at things. And let's talk for a minute about the physical body, what stress does, what cortisol does when you feel so many physical symptoms all from something, all from stress. That's crazy, but it's very real, right?
Yeah, you know, and if you think back, stress, our reaction is designed to keep us alive, but it's designed when we were in like a primitive state, living in the forest, in the jungle, right? Not living on top of each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not bumping into each other, not pushing each other's buttons like crazy, not going into these big brick buildings with hundreds or thousands of people working there, right? Or living on top of each other in these huge apartment complexes or in these cities. It was, we were more spread out and we were connected to the earth, you know, and when there was danger, we got out of there.
Right.
Right. But stress, the fight or flight, to me, it's just a reaction to a perception of danger. And it's fueled by fear and it's perpetuated by worrisome thoughts. And when we get stressed, we perceive something as danger. Now, our perception gets hampered as we go through life and we experience more trauma and emotional events that we do not resolve. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like every time you go through an upsetting event and you're not at peace with it. You didn't really work it through when you think, and you could tell, here's a little litmus test. When you think back to a traumatic event, if your body goes into some kind of stress or you feel emotional duress or some mental, negative thoughts, that means you have not resolved it. You're not at peace with the past yet for that memory. So each of those memories put a pair of sunglasses on us.
Right.
And we were never taught how to take the sunglasses off to resolve the emotional pain inside of the memory. Mm-hmm. So we could start to see clearly. So we're going through life. We keep on building up more and more stress. We have these really dark sunglasses on. It's really hard to see the light, right? Really hard to see that we're safe. We have enough. We are enough.
Right.
I'm okay. He's okay. I'm okay. It's hard to see that stuff. I got to run or fight to stay alive. 1,400 reactions cascade throughout our being when we get stressed out. A lot of that stuff causes disease, pain in the body. And we don't know what to do with it. We were never taught what to do with it in elementary school.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I see what you're saying too about back when man, you know, lived in the wild, our cortisol probably released more natural, our stress released more natural from the very presence of the earth and, you know, being outside and being having in an expansive environment. I got that. Okay.
How do you feel when you look out at the beach and you look into the horizon? How do you feel when you're on a hill and you see in the distance far clouds?
Right.
We feel free because our eyes are perceiving far distance. We're not meant to sit in a square room or in a cubicle. That's going to keep our stress high.
Right. And that is why so many people love the beach. In the little bit of time we have left, you are doing amazing work in the realm of suicide prevention. How did that start?
Thank you for bringing that up. So I have worked with people that were suicidal since 2003. I believe that was my first client where suicidal ideation came up. And ever since then, it's been like off and on. Some of my clients will allow suicide, you know, suicidal ideation will come up in a coaching session. But then I started working with a few veteran service organizations after I wrote The Three Keys to Managing PTSD in 2015. And they used me as like a go-to suicide prevention specialist. So I started getting more and more experience with it. Then a few years ago, a CEO of a large veteran service organization asked me to write a mindfulness-based suicide prevention script and then train his staff of six on it. So they had six vet-to-vet peer specialists that were their suicide prevention team, and they had a hotline. So they wanted me to come in to write that script, a more mindfulness-based, a more human, emotional, compassionate-based approach to suicide. So I wrote that script. I compiled all my notes from all my coaching sessions with people that were suicidal. I compiled how I do my coaching sessions, and then I package it into a training. And then I've been training teams of vet-to-vet peer specialists and other mental health professionals in this stress is gone suicide prevention protocol, which is an amazing new approach to helping anyone struggling with suicidal ideation.
When is your next training?
So we have a training. We have a free training tomorrow, September 12th. And then we have another free training, September 19th. So our next free training, when after your podcast comes out, so September 19th would be a free training. That's for mental health professionals, peer specialists, or anyone that's supporting someone that's struggling with suicidal ideation. After that, we have our MST retreat at the VA, September 26th. Then we have our Kripalu Trauma Recovery Retreat in the Berkshires, October 9th through the 13th. And then we have a deep dive suicide prevention training three Sundays in a row at the Dharmakaya Center in the Southern Catskills, starting November 9th.
Beautiful. And then you're going to the Bahamas?
Yeah. So, and then we're going to be at a trauma symposium speaking on a panel for a couple of days, January 20th to the 23rd.
That's go look at the beach and the horizon and feel expansive. Okay, Brett Cotter?
Thank you. We will. Yeah.
It's so wonderful to talk to you. I think we have more work to do, don't you?
Yeah, you know, the world's in a very unique and crazy place. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit for what we do, and it's just spreading goodness. You know, it's spreading goodness, helping people reconnect with themselves, and I'm going to do that for the rest of my life.
Amen. Brett Cotter, stressisgone.com. You've been listening to Shine On.